Yo, what up? Unapologetic Live. I'm your host, Amla Epinobia, and Taylor's in the house.
Whoa. I got it. I finally got it for
I
once.
Love it. We are such professionals on this show. Every day you watch this show, it gets better and better, ladies and gentlemen. At least I hope you think that, because that's what I think.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, of course.
We are constantly improving. We started doing shows and live streams with PragerU with like shelves falling off the wall. There was no lighting. Everything looked horrible.
Yeah, if you're an OG in the chat and you remember any of that, you should drop a comment just so we can share our memories and laugh together.
We have PTSD from it. You guys have laughter from it, hopefully. Today, happy Wednesday, we're going to be getting into a very celeb-heavy episode because I've been looking at the news, I've been looking at Twitter, and celebrities just keep popping up. We're going to be talking Matthew McConaughey, Robert De Niro, Nick Cannon, Ezra Miller, and just going through some different stories, giving you commentary. Going to be a very chill episode today. And at the end, we might do a little bit of Q&A. So guys, if you have questions that you want to drop in the chat down below, maybe Taylor or Spencer will collect them during the episode, and we'll answer some at the end of today's episode because we're going to get through this celeb news hopefully pretty quickly. I don't like to spend too much time on celebrities. I don't know if you guys share that sentiment with me, but I feel like they're just regular people who happen to be in the spotlight and now have just been given extra limelight, so we talk about them. But I do think some of the videos we're going to watch and some of the issues that they talk about do point to broader social and cultural problems that we should discuss. Story number one. Oh, where do I want to start? Let's start with Nick Cannon. So here's the breaking news here. I saw this morning and, you know, it struck a chord with me. Let me know if it strikes a chord with you. Nick Cannon is officially expecting another baby with Abby Della Rosa, his ninth overall. Now, I read this and I was like, wait a second. I know Nick Cannon had kids with Mariah Carey, and I think he had two kids with Mariah Carey. Who else did he have kids with? Nine kids? Are you serious? And I went and looked it up, and Nick Cannon, dude, has like five baby mamas. Five. This year, he has two women expecting children from him. Abby De La Rosa and some other woman are expecting children from this man. And I thought, okay, nine is a lot. Like, you don't have nine children unintentionally. So I went and looked and see what he had to say about it. And he's like, yeah, I'm super intentional about it. I do it on purpose. And I've, you know, gotten all these women pregnant, whatever. Each one was intentional. And I did it with a choice and a purpose. And it seems like a lot of people on social media, although there were many who said, this is ridiculous, I can't believe this, I can't believe that you're going out and sort of recreational, like it's a recreational sport to create broken homes, is essentially what he's doing. But a lot of people were going, well, Nick has money to support these children, so it doesn't really matter. He should be able to go out and get as many women pregnant as he wants and have as many children as possible. Now, I'm not saying we legislate how many people you can get pregnant, although if I was a dictator, we'd be living in a new world. I honestly, if I was a dictator, I might consider making a law where it's like you pick one person and that's the person that you can have kids with. Once you've had kids with one person, sorry, buddy. That's all you get. Make it work. Make it work. Because you're the one who decided to make a child. So make it work. And I see a lot of people going, well, Nick Cannon has money. It doesn't matter. It's not like these kids are ever going to experience like poverty or anything like that. Or they're going to be extremely privileged. So it doesn't matter that you are a singular man who has gotten five different women pregnant. And to that, I just say this seems to be the sign of what is a sick culture. Like, something like this is being heralded as an amazing thing to do, to have a ninth child, to be a celebrity, and specifically a black man, because we all know the stories around that and the whole stereotype of black fathers not being around, to go around and do this. And in 1 year, in January of this year, Nick was at a baby shower with another mom, posting up with her pregnant belly, like, oh, I can't wait for this kid to come. And now we have another woman pregnant. It's just crazy to me. And he's not the only celebrity who has done things like this. Taylor and I, before the show, were talking about Dwight Howard, who has how many kids?
I think he's got five.
Five kids. Okay, so we're not quite at nine. I like how we're like, oh, I think it's just five kids.
Yeah, just five.
Just five. He's not quite at nine kids yet. Elon Musk has, what's like
seven-ish?
Kids?
I don't know. Someone fact check us and Google these. But
how many kids?
He is trying to repopulate the earth, though, so.
Yeah, we were talking about that too. We're like, Elon has this mission of just like, we need more kids. So does that mean you have to go impregnate multiple women? No. Elon has eight. You are literally one kid behind Nick Cannon. How do you feel, Elon Musk? an innovator, a genius, an intellect, and you are one child behind having the same amount as Nick Cannon with different women. See, now, a lot of people say, like, you know, you can't levy criticism to Elon Musk because he's bought Twitter, because he's have Tesla, because he's doing all this stuff or whatever. That is a criticism that I will levy to you. You should not be going out and creating kids that are born without their dad fully present or without a family unit. It's really ridiculous to me that this is happening and that people are cheering it on and people aspiring to it, I think, is the worst thing for me. And it's a sign of where we're at, that because you have celebrity, because you have money, it's okay to create what is a not ideal situation, and not accidentally, willingly create what is a not ideal situation. I'm curious to hear what your guys' thoughts on Nick Cannon and creating a ninth kid. We all know Nick Cannon's like super crazy anyways. He was like, who's that one like Muslim black guy who, Louis Farrakhan.
Oh yeah.
He's a big like Louis Farrakhan fan. He talks about how white people are animals and how melanin makes you a better person, and that how white people are so less than black people or people of color or anybody who has melanin. And he went on this whole rant saying the most disgustingly racist things you could possibly say, and with such confidence, just like he goes and impregnates women and leaves his kids in broken households with such confidence. And yeah, 6ix9ine, and it has been trending, luckily, because people have been looking at this and going, that's messed up, that's really effed up for you to go and create 9 kids and with 5 different baby mamas and just go, you know, and just keep going and keep going and keep going. And I'm sure next year, maybe he'll top it and we'll get 3 baby showers from Nick Cannon in 1 year. And we'll go from 9 to 12. It's going to be just a joke at this point to look at people, look at celebrities like this and see how many kids that they can have with women. And to the women, my look should say that. That should just communicate it all to you. That should communicate how I feel about you making... Yeah, because I'm not going to sit here and in my little white throne and just throw shade at Nick Cannon. I'm throwing shade to you, too. It takes 2 to tango. It takes a woman to put herself in this situation and go, I don't care. Let's go ahead and have a kid, when you got 4 other women who came before you in the line on the roster. So it takes 2 to tango thing. I think it is a sign of just sickness to go and do this and to put your child in a position where they could very possibly not have a father present at all in their lives. So not all the shade goes to Nick Cannon. It also goes to these women who've decided to put themselves in this situation as well. Anything else to add, Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting conversation, because generally it's like, we're like pro-life people. We're mm-hmm. pro-wanting children. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for large families. That's a good thing. But large families, like large households where children have parents that are present and are there to raise them and inculcate yep. values and make them a part of a community and a society and be there for them. And this is like just the ability to bear a child. It's not make you a man. And just the ability to be a biological father does not make you a father. Like an mm-hmm. There's a responsibility that comes with that yep. and a mandate to be present and to it just feels like such a cavalier attitude toward the creating a precious human life. And part of that is the commitment to like being there and fostering an environment in which they can flourish. And that's what makes the Elon Musk one so kind of disappointing, is that he's a very data-driven guy. He should know that all the data says that the outcomes are great for yep. children that come from 2-parent households where there's a father present. And he should know those. And to have this like spray and pray attitude with childbearing, it's not just about creating human beings.
Yeah.
It's about creating families and fathering children who are going to be set up for success in life and yeah, have a wholesome upbringing.
Yeah, and I mean, our special episode of Unapologetic next month that's coming out, or is it this month? It's this month now, or
this
in June.
Month.
Oh my gosh, it's this month.
June 19th.
Yeah, June 19th. It's going to be about fatherlessness and this issue. And just because Nick Cannon's a celebrity and he has money, and Elon Musk is a celebrity and he has money and he has all this wealth, does not mean he's not creating a fatherless home. I want to make that extremely clear. And even if he's there every now and then, it does not mean you're not creating a fatherless home. And when you look into this issue in particular and how it affects children, even wealthy children, even privileged children, it's horrifying. Everything that can go wrong when you grow up without your father being present: obesity, homelessness, prison time, chronic illness, going to jail, dropping out of school. So many different things and different ailments can appear in your life simply because you did not have that one important prerequisite, as Thomas Sowell would call them, of having a father present in the household to instill values or to just be there to represent what is a male figure for you. And it is no exception for people who are celebrities. It is no exception for people who have money. So if you look at this and go, oh, great thing, whatever, he's got the money to take care of it. There's so many things that your presence is the only thing that can take care of it. So money and wealth and fame mean absolutely nothing. So this, I just don't think, should be applauded whatsoever. And it was just crazy to me to see people who were like, I don't care, whatever. I mean, obviously, it's another person's life. How much can you possibly care about what Nick Cannon does in his day to day? But just the principle itself, saying that this is something that is totally fine and that we could encourage as a society. No. Shame on you, 9 children, 5 moms. My goodness. Now, I'm sure a lot of you have been seeing Matthew McConaughey in the news. He did a recent, I guess we'll call it, press conference at the White House, where he stood in the stage that the press secretary normally takes and spoke about the victims in Uvalde, because that's where he's from. That was where he was raised. So the recent mass shooting that took place there struck a chord with him, and they invited him to the White House to speak about the things that he had seen and to speak about gun reform, which he I think was pretty reasonable about. I don't know if you guys saw the video of him talking at the White House. We're not going to play that today, but you guys can go and look it up. The things he was calling for in general, I won't sum up all of them, but questioning the age limit for when somebody can buy an AR-15, saying instead of 18, maybe we should look at 21, considering this specific shooter at the age of 18, right after his birthday, went and purchased this AR-15 and went on this tirade at the preschool. At the elementary school there, sorry. He also stated that red flag laws would be something that they should look into, which essentially means if you have psychiatric problems, mental illness, if you've gone through any sort of system or database or a professional has checked on you and noticed what are warning signs of this sort of violence, we should have a red flag in place to when you go to buy a firearm. Guess what? That little red flag pops up and they go, oh, I'm so sorry, I cannot sell this to you today. We can talk about the AR-15 thing in the age being 18 to 21. I don't have a super strong opinion on that. But the red flag thing, I think, for me, just makes total sense. That if you are seen as mentally incapable or somebody who might commit this sort of violence and there is a warning sign on your record for that, maybe you can't just walk into the gun shop and be handed a firearm. So Matthew McConaughey, to me, represents a celebrity who has sort of inched his way into politics. It seems as though, as each of these major social issues pop up, Matthew McConaughey always has something to say in like a side interview or a video that he posts on YouTube or something like that. And I see him as somebody who is generally centrist in the way that he views things, seemingly wants to be a unifier among people, and it's actually been speculated that he was going to run for Texas governor, although he said that he has no plans to do so. But I think it has crossed his mind running for office. Taylor, you said he is doing some ministry of something?
He's a minister of culture for the state of Texas, I believe.
No idea what the minister of culture does.
It's such a Matthew McConaughey type of role, you know, because it's no one knows what the heck it means or what he's saying or whatever, but it's like, cool, you're Matthew McConaughey, just kind of do your thing, bro.
Right, all right. Yeah. I have a feeling, we were talking about this before the show, if Matthew McConaughey ran for Texas governor, I think he would win. You think he would win? Just on sheer popular opinion and public appeal, I feel like he would win.
It depends on what, like, is he run as, I think as a Republican, he'd win, maybe. But then you'd have to beat out Abbott in the primary, right? And as an independent, I don't think you could. And then as a Democrat, I don't think that they're too far left right now. I don't think they would support him.
Yeah, I don't know. Just make his like campaign ad one of those like Lincoln commercials and make it really just like rustic. All right. Yeah. And then you win everybody over.
I guess. I mean, he'd have a good shot.
I mean, I looked at Donald Trump and I was like, there's no way in hell. There's no way it's ever happening, ever. And Matthew McConaughey is far more... has far more public appeal than I think Donald Trump has.
Yeah, and Texas has gotten a lot more purple in recent years. And so, you know, who knows? I don't know that it would be a net positive. We talked about that too.
We did.
Like, if you're coming from a conservative point of view, if that's a good thing, probably not ideal, but
Let's put a poll in the chat. Would you guys vote for Matthew McConaughey if he was running for governor in your state? Would Matthew McConaughey, all right, have your vote if he started running for governor? He went on Fox News recently, and this is what he had to say about political ambitions and about the state of politics in general.
I'm much more aggressively centrist like that, and I believe that the people I talk to on both sides are much more reasonable about things than we're being told we are.
So what contributes to that? Social media?
Sure.
Coverage of the splits between the two parties.
Well, hey, drama makes better news. All right, we love to rubberneck. You know what I mean? We're still having arguments in the world every day about what a fact is. Because of facts and the truth? Oh, man. I'm bored of that. I don't want to know that. Come on, give me some sensation. Well, we got to be more than entertainment. And when we're talking about issues we're talking about and the way we move forward in the world and as Americans, it's supposed to be hard work.
That was just like a lukewarm take, but nothing but truth. And I have a feeling when I see things like this and I see the response people have, this is 1.7 million views. Of course, people are cheering it on saying this is so true. Yeah, this is great. I think we've gone through what people would have considered extreme right, although we can argue that our last president was not extremely, extremely right wing. And now we've gone through what is utterly progressive left, although some will argue that he's not utterly progressively left. Is the next person that we see take office or the next string of elected officials, are they this aggressively centrist, as Matthew McConaughey calls himself, people who are just gaining their support off of talking about the divide that we're going through and saying, you know, why don't we just land somewhere in the middle instead of rubbernecking? I have a feeling maybe that is in the near future what we're gonna drive ourselves towards, because it seems like, you know, the pendulum just swings and swings and swings, and to swing you have to take a little bit of time in that middle. So we've gone to the right, we've gone to the left. Are we gonna take that time in the middle next?
Yeah, it is an interesting thought experiment. I do wonder, like we just saw yesterday in the California primary election, that Michael Schellenberger kind of lost out in his, and he was ran as an independent, as a centrist. And, mm-hmm. you know, California's rife with problems. San Francisco did boot out Chesa Boudin, their woke DA who was allowing crime to run rampant. So there right. was a rock bottom that could be hit in San Francisco. But
Certainly.
a centrist candidate put himself forward and was like, hey, look, guys, you don't have to, I'm not this far right Republican. You don't have to be afraid of me or whatever. To the California Democrats, they're like, no, we're good. We're going to stick with Newsom. So I think I hope we get a wave of more reasonable centrist type people, because that is you could do a lot worse. But I just wonder, like, between our two party system and just the polarized environment that we have in the mainstream media, mm-hmm. just the way that social media works and everyone being entrenched in their sides. Like you saw that after the Uvalde shooting, it just immediately became politicized and everyone dug in their heels. And I just wonder, can that be overcome? I would love to have a more reasonable world where people were more centrist and had more thoughtful discussions about things, but I don't feel like I'm skeptical that we could actually get there.
I feel like I'm just seeing that, you know, those 70 to 80% of people who sit in the center just being like, I'm so over both of you guys. I'm so over all of this. I don't want a part in this. And are those people going to begin to be more active and start maybe running for things, or at least, you know, being really present in the conversations that we're having? Maybe. I also see the Gen Z generation having that feeling of, I'm fed up with both of you guys. Yeah. I'm fed up with all of it. And you guys, I'm just watching my parents bicker, essentially, and begging for them to get divorced and for something else to happen. So I'm just so curious. You can speculate all you want and make all your predictions about what's going to happen next, and you'll never know, and we'll never have the words to describe exactly what happens next to us. But I'm so curious to see it. So at least we'll have this little podcast that we can look back on and see if whether or not we were right or wrong on this issue. Speaking of being wrong on issues.
Perfect transition when you're starting to talk about The View.
Yes, perfect transition when we are talking about The View, and specifically Joy Behar. They apparently got into a discussion about guns, particularly AR-15s, because we're talking about Texas and Uvalde and all that fun, not fun stuff. And this conversation got brought up, and we have a little soundbite of Joy Behar jumping in and talking about gun ownership in America and gun control. Here's what Joy Behar had to say.
Most AR-15 owners are former military, okay. 35 plus.
Let me say
married.
One more thing.
So that's all I'm saying, okay. is that they're yeah. not
once,
these crazy
once,
people.
Okay. Here's the thing. Once black people get guns in this country, the gun laws will change. Trust me.
What? Okay, first of all, I just need a meme of the black lady's face after she says that, because she's like,
oh no.
What did you just say? That is so ridiculous. I want to hear it one more time from Joy Behar. Let me just say something real quick.
So that's all I'm saying, okay. is that they're yeah. not once, these crazy
once,
people.
Okay. Here's the thing. Once black people get guns in this country, the gun laws will change. Trust me.
Are you serious? Once black people get guns in the, oh my gosh, the gun laws will change in this country, and the crowd just erupts. I know they have that person who holds up the sign as like applaud or whatever, but still, you don't have to. You don't have to for something so ridiculous and asinine. Once black people get guns in America, I am so, so sorry, Joy Behar. I don't know if you've ever stepped foot outside of your penthouse or wherever it is that you live, or outside of the ABC studio, specifically because you're in New York City, but you should be able to tell that black people do own guns in America. And these are the same people who are going to say, well, black people fall victim to gun violence all the time. From who? From who, Joy Behar? Have you heard of Chicago? Detroit? New York City? The city that you live in? Los Angeles? Have you seen the gun violence that's occurring there? Have you seen the perpetrators and the victims of that gun violence? Shockingly, it happens to be black Americans. And to say something like this, to bolster your argument, is just so emblematic of leftism and wokeism itself. How can I make this issue racist? How can I demonize the side that disagrees with me? And she thought, okay, let's make this talking point that if black people got guns in America, there'd be gun control tomorrow. Guess what? We're in our current state of affairs, and black people are heavily armed in America. So where do you go from here? And the fact that this can be said on television, national television, and just be applauded, and then we just move on to the next thing, is ridiculous. It's almost like in the Jubilee episode that we watched yesterday, where the white woman, Cindy, sits there and she goes, well, the majority of victims of gun violence are women in domestic violence situations. Huh? Come again? What did you just say? And was it an utterly false lie? Yes. But no, we never pause to go, what did you just say? And can I hold you accountable for what you just said because it was false? No. We just move on until the next news cycle and the next news story, and then Joy Behar says something ridiculous again and is never held accountable, and then she keeps her job because she gets ratings for saying these stupid things and for keeping people uninformed and essentially illiterate on these issues. The people who watch The View are going to watch that and go, oh, you know, Joy Behar made the greatest point today. She said that if black people were armed, there would be gun control. There'd be gun control tomorrow. And then you turn on the news and you see, well, you don't see it on the news because they don't talk about it on the news. It's almost like it's this synergistic relationship that they all have where Joy Behar can say something like this. And then you turn on CNN or ABC News or MSNBC News and they'll talk about gun violence, but not in black communities. They won't talk about the young black children who are being shot and killed every single day in the United States of America. They won't use that to bolster their argument for gun control. They'll use any white person who has gone out and inflicted violence against other people. But they won't use the alternative of that. Ever. They won't simply be honest. And I don't know what else to say about this. I just cannot believe that people still watch this show. That's all that I have to say.
Yeah, I love what you're saying about people are being held accountable to reality. Mm-hmm. That is what it feels like. I thought about Cindy from the video yesterday, too. It's like, there's if you just tune into the mainstream media and social media and you just take this stuff in and listen to celebrities or whatever and just go with all the talking points, it really does construct this fabric of what you like a ground that you're standing on that's not real and that from the way that you see the world, and you're literally living in a fake reality.
Yep.
That it's like a bubble waiting to be popped. And I think like you, when you share your red pill experience, it was like, hey, I started checking the facts. I started holding the things I was being told accountable to biological reality, objective reality, statistical reality, and mm-hmm. those things poked holes in the narrative that I was taught, and that's what deflated the whole thing and made me wake up. And anyway, I can only hope that the more absurd the lies get, that the more people start to lose faith in them. But it seems so ironclad, this whole shroud that the media has over people's eyes.
Right, and even if it's just fake clapping, it still gets people. It's still people watch this and go, yeah. What she just said is true. That was such a great point. She just ended that debate. Whatever debate they were having, she just ended it with that point. Unbelievable. And I know The View is not a news show or whatever. Okay, so we can't hold them to the same standards that we hold our news shows. These are just five random women giving their opinions on things or whatever. But I wish that every time somebody lied on television, they just went ding, ding, ding. You've lost a point. You just lied. And I wish all of these personalities had a little point counter. This is, if I could create a website, this is the website that I would create. It's just watching through all of these television shows, pausing it every time they lie and taking points off, and then giving you a meter for how factual these people are, because they can just lie, 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 lie. And it's the confidence for me, because they lie with such confidence. Unbelievable. And to have two black people, obviously we don't have the rest of this clip, but I imagine it seems like they went on with what they were talking about or went on to another subject matter. So two black people sitting there not say anything, and just the four other women in general to not say anything to what she just said. Come on, hold each other accountable. But they don't. And it shows you what their true pursuit is. Their true pursuit is whatever their narrative is, whatever their agenda is, because if their true pursuit was truth, they would hold themselves accountable and they would hold each other accountable. But they don't. And ABC just loves those spicy clips. You all know that I was tested to be on The View, and I went through two interviews where they asked me about nothing more than just like critical race theory, Donald Trump and January 6th, as if that constitutes what your values are and whether or not you can stand up to these imbeciles who sit on their desk every single day. But that's what they're concerned about. They want catfights. They want misinformation as much as they say that they don't. That is what they want you to see, because that is what gets views. Now, speaking of misinformation and lies, Stephen Colbert recently had Robert De Niro on his show. We all know Robert De Niro. And when the current administration is brought up, and Robert is asked whether or not he is sleeping soundly, we all know he did not like our previous president. He was a very orange man, bad man in those times, Robert De Niro. So this is what Robert De Niro responded when asked about our current administration.
But what about, like, I know that you have a fair amount of, you have emotions about politics. You have thoughts, of course, first. Those stir emotions. I know you have some anxiety about the state of politics in the United States. Having a new guy at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, has that, have you sleep any better at night?
Yes. He's, you know, he got us into calm waters. That was always the idea.
Yeah.
He's doing a very good job. It's a tough one. I couldn't imagine. I could imagine how difficult it is. I have decisions in my own personal life that I imagine that what he goes through is 100 times that.
Yeah.
And so, no, he's doing the best he can. And we got to get through a bad period. Yeah. Period.
Yeah. Yeah. It's graduation.
Calm waters, ladies and gentlemen. Calm waters is you going to the grocery store and not being able to find baby formula. Calm waters is you going to the gas station like I did this morning and paying $7 a gallon for your gas. Calm waters is having to check whether or not your kids are being indoctrinated with critical race theory and gender theory in schools. Calm waters is going to the grocery store and not being able to afford everything that you need. Calm waters is not having gas and then having your elected representatives tell you that it's better for you to have an electric vehicle. Those cost like $60,000 a pop. That's calm waters for you guys. While you guys are struggling here with the crime rates, with homelessness, your elected representatives are asking how many billions of dollars we need to send to Ukraine. Is that calm waters for you? Are you guys sleeping safe and sound like Robert De Niro is, who is a millionaire off of the work that he's done and never has to worry about a thing in his life and probably has his own privately secured household? Calm waters? They don't feel too calm to me, is what I'm saying. And to sit here and just be like, oh, Yes, he's so much better than the last president, even though our economy was functioning perfectly back then, and unemployment was down, and people were actually going to school and being able to run their businesses, up until the end there. But calm waters. It goes to show you how stupid they think you are. How stupid they think you are that they can pee on you and tell you that it's raining on national television. And when you wake up every morning and walk outside your door to see the actual struggle that your own communities are going through, you can come home at night, turn on the TV, and Stephen Colbert and Robert De Niro will tell you that you are in calm waters. It's just so crazy. It's like when you watch those dystopian films. It's like watching The Hunger Games, right? And you see all the different districts, and they all have their own commodity that they give up to the capital, and they're all impoverished, except for the ones who keep it really close to the crown. And then you turn on the TV, and you get Caesar Flickerman in his beautiful suit and his done-up hair, and he's telling you how wonderful it is to live in this country, how united we are, how well we're doing, how unimpoverished you are. That's exactly where we live today. Calm waters, my butt.
I love how he ended his whole speech too with, but we're just in a rough time right now and we'll got to get through it. It's like, why are we in a rough time, Robert? I thought the waters are calm.
Yep.
Like, which is it? Are we in calm waters now, or are we in a rough time? And if we're in a rough time, what made the time rough?
Yep.
You know?
He's going to go, the previous administration made the time rough, and now we have to come in and correct it. That's the lie that he'll push to you. When you guys were doing perfectly fine. You guys are doing perfectly fine before all of this other stuff got ushered in. And yeah, I find it hard to believe that this is not going to be like looked back on as like one of the worst administrations in history. I cannot see how that does not happen, other than the fact that the people who make textbooks now are just propagandists. So I think about this all the time when I'm 50 or 60 and probably not sending my kids to school, but if I sent my kids to school and they come back with a textbook, like, what is going to be written in that textbook?
There will be 20 chapters on January 6th.
Honestly, 20 chapters on January 6th. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
D-Day will not be in there, but no. January 6th will be. Not June 6th, but
not June
January
6th. January 6th. Oh, you're so right, Taylor. That is horrifying. Oh my gosh. But yeah, I think about this a lot. What is going to go down in our history books? And are we going to course correct enough to have control over having the actual truth be in there? Or is it going to be just propaganda?
We did get at least delayed on the whole Ministry of Truth thing. Sounds like that is true. That's, you know, so between that and leaving $7 billion of weaponry in the hands of the Taliban, I'm sleeping soundly.
Are you telling me her recover of Mary Poppins on TikTok didn't absolutely change the way we view mis and disinformation? Nina Jankowicz, I thought you were a stunner. A star for the Ministry of Truth.
She seems so qualified to me to tell me what the truth is and be the arbiter of that and what I'm allowed to say on social media, what I'm allowed to see.
Yep. I just loved it when she went on that Zoom call and said the conservatives aren't being censored on social media. I thought that was truly brilliant. I thought that was a brilliant piece of just pure, true information.
Speaking of, how can people help us fight against censorship right now on this channel?
Oh my gosh. You can like, subscribe. You can click the notification bell. You can go to PragerU.com and sign up for our email list and actually follow Unapologetic Live on there, because if we ever get taken off of YouTube, Facebook, Getter, Rumble, all these other platforms, although Getter and Rumble, we know we're safe on, you guys will have to be able to go there to listen to us. Also, you can go to Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and support us on there as well. Now,
I'm just spamming it now that I finally have the button.
We're gonna be using that sound like crazy. Last bit of news here that we'll touch on really quickly. Ezra Miller is back in the news again. Is it gonna be another charge, another arrest? Possibly. Here's the title out of People.com. Parents of 18-year-old activist accuse Ezra Miller of grooming daughter with cult-like behavior. Now, while the parents allege Ezra Miller uses violence, intimidation to control their child, the 18-year-old spoke out about experiencing emotional and psychological manipulation by the parents. Of course, this is Ezra Miller. Used to be a much more attractive and normal man, but he is no longer a man. He is a they-them non-binary individual who has an affinity for beating women and apparently also grooming them. Now, this 18-year-old girl apparently is also a they-them. isn't she?
Yeah, there are no he's or she's in this article.
There's a bunch of they's. There's a lot of people. Grammatically, there's a lot of people involved in this story. Modernly, there's only two, but they all go by they, them pronouns. Ridiculous. Anyways, but apparently this grooming started when this girl was at the age of 12, and she is now an 18-year-old activist. Of course, an 18-year-old activist gets groomed by a non-binary person and turns out to be an 18-year-old activist? Are we shocked? No, we're not. But let's keep it to Ezra Miller. Apparently, he would take this young girl when she was underage on different trips to them, on trips with him. At one point, they even went to Hawaii together. Now, they give no details as to what happened on these trips, but I imagine a man taking a minor girl on a trip to Hawaii probably wasn't the most savory activity. So now she's coming forth, talking about his cult-like and psychologically manipulative, controlling behavior, saying that he would use violence, intimidation, threats of violence, fear, paranoia, delusions, and drugs to hold sway over this young adolescent woman. Am I surprised by this whatsoever? No, but it seems as though Ezra Miller has not gotten the amount of heat that he deserves. We saw what happened with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Amber Heard alerted the paparazzi to her alleged abuse that we would come to find was falsified in more ways than one, and the world went crazy. Johnny Depp lost all of his movies. He lost his Dior contract. He was essentially had his entire lifestyle and career ruined, not only including him, his kids as well were inundated with controversy because of Amber Heard's false accusations. But Ezra Miller, if you even look him up for just a moment, and you might recognize his face, he does play the Flash in a superhero series. He has videos of him assaulting women, multiple videos of him assaulting women. Now we have this accusation from this girl who even underage went on trips with him and has the proof to solidify the accusation. And nothing. Not a peep. It hasn't seemed to affect his career very much at all, although I have a feeling with this news, something is going to happen to them.
See, that's the thing. Johnny Depp, all he had to do was identify as non-binary mm-hmm. and say his pronouns are they, them, and then we'd still have Captain Jack Sparrow.
Right, because it wouldn't have been a man hitting a woman at that point. It would have been a they, them hitting a woman, which is apparently why this is just getting so much leniency. I am so curious to see what happens here, but that's our last bit of celebrity news today. Let me know, which story did you think was the most interesting? Was it Nick Cannon? Was it Matthew McConaughey? Was it Robert De Niro? Was it Joy Behar? Or was it they, them, Ezra Miller? Leave it in the comments down below. Now, I guess if you have any questions, we can do a quick Q&A before we close out today. But if not...
Yeah, Spencer, if you're out there, start sending us questions on Slack because I have not been collecting them. So we're just going to start looking through the chat.
Yeah, if you guys have questions, drop them in the chat down below. I'll stay live for a little while longer if you guys have anything you want to talk about. Or just comments, statements, anything you're experiencing in life right now, any comments on the current stories.
We are a partner channel on YouTube now. Does that mean we can get super chats? Can we super chat now? Somebody test it out.
Don't know. Somebody test it out.
Try sending us money.
Send us 30 rupees, guys. Send us 400 rubles in the chat right now. And we'll see if it works. But yeah, other than that, we'll look in the chat for your other stuff. I was going to tell a story of some sort, but I forgot what.
Please tell stories. We really need a story right now.
Because I went on a ride along this past Saturday, and I took my roommate with me because she was really interested in what the police do. And eventually I'm going to start filming these. I took some clips from this current ride along, but it wasn't the greatest. I might still post it on Instagram just so you guys can see. But she went along with the ride along with me. And boy, oh boy, is it insane to live in Southeast Los Angeles, specifically in Watts. We got there, and within the first hour, there was two men with guns who were running around brandishing them, and they had to set up a full police perimeter with like 35 cars trying to get these men who were just brandishing weapons and running around with them. And then a robbery happened, and this boy and girl robbed this person, and they got arrested, and I was along for that. They don't mess around when they do ride-alongs. Like, you are right there in the thick of it. You see everything. You go along with everything, of course, from a safe perspective. You're not really in the heat of it, although I was in one situation, and I'll maybe make an entire YouTube video about that story in particular. But You see everything, and there's so many crimes being committed here in Los Angeles while people just completely cover it up and don't talk about it whatsoever. The rise in crime is largely being ignored, but I have a feeling that when the constituents that live in this area get their time to, you know, vocalize their opinion and vote, they're going to do something about it. Like we just saw in San Francisco, Boudin, or however you pronounce his last name, I think you pronounce it Boudin, the DA there, was just recalled. And what did he do? He blamed it on billionaires. He's saying conservative billionaires are the ones who funded him getting recalled. San Francisco is over 80% Democrat, 80% blue in voting and in the electorate. And you got recalled. It's probably because you're letting people do drugs on the streets. There's homeless people everywhere. People are getting robbed. Franchises are having to leave because their stores are getting all looted and everything taken away from them in broad daylight, and nobody can do anything about it. There's follow home robberies, there's smash and grabs, there's all these crazy things happening in the city, and people are done putting up with it. And it's one thing to see it in the news and read about it. It's another thing to go on a ride along and see it with your own eyes. So if you guys ever have the opportunity to do that, to go on a ride along and to see what police officers do and deal with, 100% recommend it.
And speaking of, we've been talking about doing a show of Unapologetic. We'll do an episode where we go on a ride along and take a camera with Amala. And so if you guys want to see that, let us know.
Yes, absolutely. Let us know.
I've got a couple of questions. But first, some people were saying in the chat when we were discussing The View and just how the media spins this web of lies and, you know, people don't, they're not being held accountable to the truth. They were like, well, doesn't Fox News do that? Doesn't that happen on conservative social media? So what do you think about that?
Yup. It happens across the board, man. I think it happens less so with some conservative commentators from what I've seen. But I would say Fox News is much more beholden to, of course, the conservative aisle of things. I won't say they lie as much as we see in the progressive media. They're not the ones who are coming out and putting out, like, mostly peaceful protests while a Minneapolis police precinct is burning behind them. So it's a different scale. But at the baseline, all of these legacy media outlets are very beholden to their own ideology. And I would love to see that shift. I would love to see news go back to just being, like, an objective thing where they just tell you exactly what happened. They don't have to assert their opinion because when I watch any, I don't even watch Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or ABC. I will go and look up their articles and read those. But every time I turn it on, it's like, you're not even telling me the news. You're telling me your opinion on the news. And that's crazy to me that it's just simply, I can turn it on and I'll be like, okay, well, I'll get Anderson Cooper's opinion on what the news is. I'll get Greg Gutfeld's opinion on what the news is. And they just spin you whatever it is they want to spin you. So it's really weird, the media landscape that we're in right now. And I think that's why a lot of people are gravitating towards independent journalism, independent reporters, and independent shows. Because at least if you're going to get someone's opinion, get it from somebody who you like to listen to. And two, get it from somebody who's willing to give voice to both sides of how people are reading this and viewing this. That's what I love to see. Like, here's the issue. Here's what happened. Here's how some people view it. Here's how other people view it. And you could have a mix of those two opinions. You could be in the center of them, or you could be on one or the other side. But here's what everybody thinks. And I wish that was what news was like.
Yeah, and just one other note on that. I don't listen to him every day these days, but I was listening to Ben Shapiro this morning, and in the middle of his show, he was like, he basically recommended that his viewers go listen to Pod Save America if they want to hear the other perspective. Yep. And on the flip side, he noted that they're trying to get him deplatformed. And so, yeah. And that is a general truism, I think you could say, of the way media works is, like, on the left, they kind of see it as a one-way street. And yep. When they're talking about conservatives, like, there was that viral clip about on MSNBC of that former, I think he was a White House advisor, who was lamenting the fact that the Daily Wire gets so much engagement on social media. Yes. And he was like, that means that the powers that be aren't doing a good enough job at tamping down at conservative content, which we can always have that argument about how it's just clear that they all beat the same drum. And if you want in, you know, another perspective, you have to go to the social media, but, and they're censoring the opinions on the airwaves that they control. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting that here's Ben Shapiro, one of the biggest conservative figures, being like, go listen to the other side.
Right.
And conservatives in general are not threatened by you going and being exposed to other ideas, where on the left, it's very common for them to be trying to control what you see and remove your voice.
Exactly. They're the ones like censoring, taking stuff down, being like, you're not capable of knowing this or reading this or knowing any of this. And we certainly don't want to hear people who oppose us talking. When we fight for free speech, we fight for everybody's free speech. And that's something that is unique to our side of things or the centrist side of things, and not to theirs whatsoever. It's insane.
Okay, I got a couple of questions here. This one's from Asher. We love Asher.
Hey, Asher.
What's up, Asher?
What's up, dude?
Do you think our country is going to go full communist before people come to the light and see that communism and socialism is not the way to go?
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so. What I've been really amazed by and wowed by is that even in like a lot of this turmoil, people have a general sense of what it means to live in America and how the foundation of these things is set pretty deep. I do think the people who are just like, F the Constitution, and that means nothing, and tradition means nothing, I still think they represent a fringe minority. I really still do. And the video that we did yesterday with the Jubilee liberal parents versus teen conservatives was distressing at points, but overall, I was happy to see the points where they agreed. Like when they started talking about the Second Amendment, nearly every single liberal there was like, yeah, I totally understand that we need a right to defend ourselves and we value that in America. And I thought, wow, I was actually surprised to hear such just reasonable opinions on that. So I think at the end of the day, so long as we sustain our conversations about our founding and our Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all that fun stuff, we can uphold our systems. We just have to stop the people who constantly try to like undermine them. Like the leaking of that draft opinion from the Supreme Court for Roe v. Wade. Horrible thing. And I don't think people are talking about how horrible that is enough to undermine what is such a long-standing institution that we've all seemingly had enough trust in to trust the Supreme Court opinions and what they're doing and the work that they're doing that is very, very intense and very important. So it's people like that. It's the fringe ones that we need to break through and talk to and reason with. And, you know, as much as you try, you'll never be successful with all of them. But that's what our goal is every single day on this show. So, yeah.
All right. Boo Boo Gang.
Boo Boo Gang.
I'm going to give them a... Boo Boo Gang asks, have you connected with the Nigerian side of your family?
Yeah, so I talk to my father every now and then, and I've met his brothers and sisters, and he actually has a Nigerian wife, my stepmom, so I know them very well, and they've come to visit, and I've met them in Florida a few times. I've never been to Nigeria, though, to meet them, which would be an interesting thing to do. I would love to. I've seen, like, pictures of the village and everything where they're from, but never been able to step foot in Africa, so I would love to do that, but yeah, semi-close.
Speaking of Africa travels, Josh asked, have you seen Matt Walsh's new documentary?
I have. So I actually just finished watching it today. I started it yesterday and I finished watching it today. And I will say more than pleasantly surprised with the documentary itself. Matt Walsh sort of approaches everything with like this deadpan. Here's the question. Here's what I'm looking for. And he's not afraid to meet people where they're at. But beyond being impressed with him and the documentary itself, I was so impressed with all the guests that they brought on and just the way that the documentary takes you on the ride of understanding first the comedy behind what's happening right now, but really the reasoning and the history behind it and the implication of it. So if you have not watched What is a Woman, I highly recommend you go and watch What is a Woman. It will make you laugh. It'll make you cry. It'll make you just feel a lot of things. But at the end of the day, you are so well informed about everything that's going on. And it does take a microscope to those fringe people who are experiencing and expressing these extreme ideas. And it shows how ridiculous they really are. And I hope that the trend around this, the whole What is a Woman thing, because they've done brilliant marketing with this movie, I hope it gets people to outrage watch it, like leftists to go and hate watch it, and it gets through, because their stories, particularly the stories of trans people and detransitioners in that documentary, that cut right through all the divisiveness, all the argument, all the emotional back and forth, and just hit you where it hurts, talking about why this is effed up to do to children. And yeah, it was such a good documentary.
So good. I mean, we should try to get that guy on the show sometime.
We should try to get Matt Walsh on the
show. Oh, wait.
Maybe he's going to be on the show for Friday's episode, ladies and gentlemen. So if you guys have any specific ideas on what you want us to talk to Matt Walsh about or what how you want to talk to him, put it in the comments below after the stream because I want to know. We want to do something unique. We don't want to do one of those normal, you know.
You made a movie. Let's tell her about it.
So you made a movie. Who'd you interview? What was the most interesting thing you did? How was Africa? We want to do something truly unique with the time that we have with him because this is a really a brilliant documentary and we want to do something, make a splash. We don't want to do just a drop in the bucket interview. So let us know your ideas after the stream ends so that I can look at the comments later.
All right. This one, I don't know if this was a plant who asked this, but if so, well done, Sabrina or whoever paid this person. This is Gambam07.
Gambam07.
Amala, what is your tip? What are your tips? Sorry to correct the grammar right there. But so Amala, what are your tips for... tips for interview or tips to get a fruitful job. Also, jobs for PragerU. Also, what is PragerForce? I'm thinking of joining.
Oh, okay. So many things to unpack there. Let's start with PragerForce. If you are in high school, college, or a young professional below the age of 35, you guys can join PragerForce, specifically if you're conservative or you represent some of the values that PragerU upholds. It's basically an online digital community of conservatives. You guys can network. You can work on projects. You can go to our digital events that we do where sometimes Dennis will speak or I will speak. We'll bring in a guest like Matt Walsh or Michael Knowles or Candace Owens to come and speak to you guys. So if you, at the very least, want to meet other conservative people and you have a lack of conservative friends and networking, join PragerForce. At the most, if you want to, you know, attend virtual events, maybe get a job at PragerU, be able to volunteer at PragerU, also join PragerForce. You can go to PragerForce.com to do that. If you want to work at PragerU, boy, do I gotcha. We have a long list of open positions right now. If you go to our website, I believe it's PragerU.com/jobs or /hiring. You can find us there. But if you just go to our website, PragerU.com, and look through the different things we have, the different tabs, you'll be able to find all of our job listings. We are hiring in nearly every single department, and it's not just in California either. There are other states that we're hiring in as well, even though this is our headquarters. So you could be running around the office with me and Taylor, although Taylor's not running these days with the broken foot.
That's true. I'm hobbling around.
He's hobbling. You could be hobbling around the office.
You could be pushing me around in an office chair on my trip to the kitchen for coffee.
Yeah, that'll be your full-time job here at PragerU.
Don't we need it?
What was the other question?
Tips for job interviews.
Tips for job. I don't know that. I honestly...
Become a viral TikTok star.
I approach job interviews like I'm just trying to make friends with the person who's interviewing me. It's good to, of course, be ready for the actual technical qualifications of the job that you're going in for. But honestly, I think the interviews that people remember are the ones that are like, oh, I vibed with that person, or I really felt like a friendship or an open line of communication with them. I wasn't really interviewed to work at PragerU. It was like a weird process. They found my videos online and they brought me out here and I filmed a video called Stories of Us, which you guys can check out on PragerU.com. And I sort of went and spoke with the CEO and some of the people who worked here, and it was just a little click thing. So then I got offered the job. So I'm not the best to give job interview advice. What about you, Taylor?
I mean, I don't know. Just relax. Mostly be yourself. Be competent, qualified in the things that you're talking about. I think one tip, and this is something I incorporated in how I got on at PragerU, was apply for things that you might be, it's not always 100% of the time the best idea, but apply for things that you might be overqualified for and then make them fall in love with you and want you so bad that they will meet you halfway or maybe expand the responsibilities or whatever. Sometimes that's a better way in than applying for something you're underqualified for and then hoping that they'll like you enough to give you a job that you're not really qualified for. So that's one tip I think you could.
Don't be scared of either of those things. I've had success in both of those things. Yeah. Most of the jobs that I've gotten, I've been severely underqualified for, this one included, and I just went for it. So, you know, there's, and I was doing, we'll do a video on the gender pay gap at some point, but it's statistically, it's like 60% of women will not apply for a job that they are underqualified for because they're scared of just this ultimate rejection. And men have this proclivity to applying for things that they are underqualified for, and they end up getting the jobs, which is why men make more money than women in a lot of cases. So also don't be afraid to apply for things that you're underqualified for and just aim high, because you never know how far your personality and your work ethic will take you. And if you just go and say, you know, I'm here, this is what I know, but I also know that I'll work every day to do everything that you need me to do. And anything that I don't have learned right now, I will learn extremely fast down the line. So I'm a quick learner and I'm ready to dedicate myself. That's my tip for you, even though I should not be giving you tips for that. Don't take my advice to heart.
In her 21 years, she's learned.
In my 21 years, I'm not going to really tell you how to ace a job interview.
Real quick one from Jade. Do you think you'd ever run for office? The people want to know.
No, I really don't. First of all, it sounds super stressful. It sounds hella stressful. Everybody wants to know where you are all the time. Brett Kavanaugh just had some random dude with a gun try to kill him at his house, even though he didn't kind of run for office. It was a different scenario there. But A, stress. B, I think there is a certain amount of mischievery you have to involve yourself in order to get to these higher positions. And I just think once you get there, the way our system is currently set up with like the lobbying and the money incentive and all that weird stuff, it's not sound for people who are wanting to do good. I do think there are politicians in their positions who are trying to do good and who did come to their jobs from the standpoint of wanting to help their communities and actually be a public servant. But our public servants are not really public servants. It's so weird. You have these people going in with a public servant salary and coming out millionaires. There's something wrong. And I don't know that that's something that you fix from the inside of it. If it is, maybe I'd reconsider running for office at some point. I got plenty of time to mull over that because I have not met any age requirements. But yeah, not at this moment, no. It feels a little slimy.
Not quite ready for that trip to Bohemian Grove to sacrifice a goat to Moloch yet?
No. I'm not ready for Bohemian Grove. Even though that's a boys' club, I'm not ready for Bohemian Grove, if y'all know what I'm talking about. I know y'all know what I'm talking about.
I need like a conspiracy sound effect on my board here.
Honestly, we do. You guys don't know how much I'm actually into that stuff and talking about it. But yeah, I'm not ready for that trip into the woods.
All right. Han Banach says, will you consider posting music or covers to YouTube? Used to be killing it on Instagram.
I might. I know you guys want me to do like Music Mondays.
That'd be fun.
And stuff
you should
like
do
that.
A Music Monday stream on this channel.
I will eventually.
Give
I'm
the people
so sorry,
what they
guys.
Want. You got the guitar behind you and everything.
I started doing it and then I slacked and I stopped doing it, but I will post music stuff for you guys. And if you guys haven't heard me sing before and you're like, what music she sings, you guys can go to my Instagram and I have music videos on there and you can listen to them and see if you like them. I think they're all right. But yeah, maybe I'll post them on the YouTube channel. Do you guys want to see, here's a poll if Spencer's still watching right now. Do you guys want to see content other than daily, like PragerU, politics, social commentary, stuff like that? Do you want to see day in the life content? Do you want to see singing content? Do you want to see vlogs? Do you want just regular average YouTube content that is not political or not all this stuff we typically cover in our days? Because I can film stuff like that for you and post it on YouTube on this channel if you're interested. And this can just be like an omelet channel. You can get a whole amalgamation of things. But if you just want the commentary stuff, let me know down below. I think we'll take a couple more questions before we close out because I want you guys to answer that poll.
Yeah, this slowing down a little bit, but here's one real rapid fire. Favorite state? Favorite animal, favorite dish.
Oh, I know. Okay, favorite
I think
dish.
I know two of these.
Okay, go. Wait, what do you think?
For you?
Yeah.
Okay, your favorite state's Florida.
Yeah.
Obviously.
So far, yeah.
Your favorite animal, I don't know.
Okay.
It's an elephant. It's an elephant.
You're right.
Oh, I remember
Taylor!
Because, you know, I know that, guys, because we were doing this beautiful set design, and I was like, Amala, what are some things that you like that we could incorporate, get a little figurine thing, and it was like elephants, like the Republican animals, so it's like too partisan or whatever, so we kind of went away from that, but I remember. And then your favorite dish is egusi, the stew, the
egusi,
Nigerian soup.
Yes. Right? Wow, Taylor, you know me so well. Okay, can I answer this for you? Tennessee.
Oh, come on. That's tough. I don't know.
Come on.
Yeah, I guess.
Animal, I have no idea, but dish, I'm going to feel like it's like Nashville hot chicken.
Yeah,
or like my Cajun food.
Yeah, this is not fit. You know me well enough to know like what my answers might be, and uh-huh. I'd have to honestly have to think about it. I like steak, so that might be my favorite dish.
So good. I've thought about that too. That's definitely like death row meal.
Animal, I honestly 100%. Don't even know. I don't. Maybe tigers, because I went to LSU and tigers are cool. So
fair enough.
Sure.
Fair enough. It seems like 63% of you guys said you do want extra content on this channel, so I will work on that for you, beloved 63. The other 37% of you are lame.
No, I don't want more content. What are you watching for? I want to see less of you and your personality.
I'm just kidding, you guys. I love all of you. I love everybody who watches the show. Thank you so much for supporting what I do, and you're not lame. I think that's where we'll close out, because it is 4 o'clock now. Thank you guys so much for watching the show. I can't wait to see you guys tomorrow at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. If you want to listen to us, go to Google Play, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review, not a 1-star, a 5-star, because we need the love, and the app needs the love so that it recommends our podcast to other people. On tomorrow's show, I don't know exactly what we're going to talk about, but we're going to figure it out. But Friday, Matt Walsh from the now famous documentary What is a Woman, your Daily Wire personality and host of the Matt Walsh Show, is going to be our special guest again. Let us know after the show in the comments down below, what should we talk to Matt Walsh about? Should we do a special kind of interview? Should we do something interesting, something spicy? Let us know in the comments. I'll go through and read them. It'll give me ideas, get the creative juices flowing. And other than that, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye, guys.
Bye.